Hello, everyone, and welcome to a bonus episode of A Cast of Kings. I am David Chen. Joining me today, she is the host and creator of the Jesse Gender YouTube channel and previous co-host right here on A Cast of Kings, Jesse Earle. Thanks for chatting with me today.
Howdy. Thank you for having me at late in the night.
Yeah, we're recording this at like 11 p.m. Pacific time. But we're here because this week is a fairly momentous week. After years of anticipation, HBO has finally dropped a full-length trailer for A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms and released a release date for it. We now know that Knight of the Seven Kingdoms will premiere on January 18th, 2026 on HBO and HBO Max. And so we just wanted to record a very quick bonus episode to reflect on the trailer, talk about it a little bit, and kind of I want to hear what a Game of Thrones expert such as Jesse Earle has to say about a trailer like this. Now, of course, Game of Thrones fans will probably be aware that this Knight of the Seven Kingdoms is based off of Tales of Duncan Egg, which is a series of fantasy novellas by George R. R. Martin set in the world of A Song of Ice and Fire novels, roughly 90 years before the events of the novels. There have been three novellas published, The Hedge Knight, The Sworn Sword, and The Mystery Knight. And I'm reading here from Wikipedia. Martin has stated his intention to continue the series.
Oh, maybe, so. right as soon as we get Winds of Winter.
Indeed. So also a collection of the existing three novellas with illustrations by Gary Gianni was published as A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms on October 6, 2015. So that is where that title comes from. Let's hear a bit from the trailer.
I was squire to Sir Arlen of Pennytree since I was a boy. They charged me to be a good knight, to defend the weak and the innocent. And I swore that I would.
Are you Baelor Targaryen?
No.
Then would you move the fuck out of the way?
Yeah, sorry.
So the idea is that there's this character, Dunk, who was a squire to Sir Arlen of Pennytree, and then he gets a squire as well named Egg, and then both of these people are somehow important to the world of Game of Thrones in the future. I'll just say my quick reaction, Jesse Earle, which is that I thought this was an excellent trailer. Like, it really takes you back to the world of Westeros. They've captured the atmosphere again. It seems to be leaning very heavily on humor. There is a lot of funny lines or intentionally funny, humorous moments in the trailer. So I'm curious if it's going to be significantly more lighthearted than Game of Thrones or House of the Dragon. Both of which have moments of humor, much more Game of Thrones than House of the Dragon. But just my quick reaction is great trailer, really well done, looks amazing, great chemistry between the two leads, and I'm really looking forward to the show. Jesse Earle, what was your reaction when you saw this trailer?
About the same as yours. I think I said this back when we were doing season two of House of the Dragon. I'm really looking forward to this show, specifically because it is such a change in tone from both House of the Dragon and Game of Thrones, especially House of the Dragon specifically, which is much more dour and kind of dark and depressing and everything sad.
It is really sad. It is really sad and depressing, isn't it? Yeah.
It's like it's a very, like, I feel like if that's sort of a Shakespearean tragedy, this is like kind of the Shakespearean comedy side of it, where it's just like, okay, there's actually something interesting here. And yeah, this trailer captured kind of everything that I wanted. We were talking before we were recording about I read these novels or the novellas, I should say, like back when they came out in the collection, which you said was in 2015. So it would have been literally a decade ago when I read these, like when they officially came out. But like, to my memory, this trailer like captures that exact vibe of this is a story that still takes place in this very like realistic setting, like fantasy, but much more like down to earth sort of setting that Game of Thrones has always kind of been, but kind of capturing that sense of honor and hope and humor and sort of more grounded everyday perspective than the like lords and ladies that we got in the books or the show. So like, I think that this is just such a great switching of gears and feels like exactly what I want a franchise to be doing. Cause you know, House of the Dragon is just like kind of more Game of Thrones in a lot of ways in terms mm-hmm. of what people think of it. Whereas this is like, okay, this is definitely still a Game of Thrones show, but it's doing something a little bit different and trying something a little bit different. So I really appreciate that this trailer seemed to capture that.
So according to the blurb for the show, it reads, quote, a century before the events of Game of Thrones, two unlikely heroes wandered Westeros, a young, naive, but courageous knight, Sir Duncan the Tall, and his diminutive squire, Egg. Set in an age when the Targaryen line still holds the Iron Throne and the Last Dragon has not yet passed from living memory, great destinies, powerful foes, and dangerous exploits all await these improbable and incomparable friends, end quote. I am curious what you think of the two main actors who played Duncan Egg, Peter Claffey and Dexter Sol Ansel.
Peter Claffey looks great. I think the character has to capture, again, from my memory, this... the actor should cast capture from the character this sense of he's an honorable guy in a world that isn't super honorable and is like not respected by like the lords and ladies and the other knights who sort of get to participate in the tournaments, but he goes around and he actually is sort of that honorable knight that we sort of think that these guys play at, of like, hey, we have all these awards and we win all these tournaments and things, but he actually is that knight that goes around and helps people. But he doesn't really think of himself that way. He sort of looks down on his luck. And so there's like this interesting sort of thing that he has to capture of like being like that noble knight, but not being too, you know, sense of like superiority and weight that even you would get with someone like, why am I blanking on his name? Eddard Stark from from Ned Stark way back in the first season of Game of Thrones, where like he was also the noble guy, but he also was literally a noble in some ways. So like there's that sense of weight that he comes with him, where this guy is just a low-born guy, right? So he kind of has that, and I think he plays that really well, of just being an average everyday sort of guy who's like just working himself up and isn't in that world of like lords and ladies. So I think he's really good. Dexter, he's interesting. I don't want to, you know, go too much into it, but he, because it'll be probably a spoiler that the show is sort of keeping in its back pocket. And I will say this, like, don't look up like some of the like material for this show. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm even looking at the Wikipedia page for this, and the Wikipedia page kind of spoils who he is. So right. don't look up anything.
I have studiously kept that out of my description of it. Right.
Yes. So I will say, like, what I will say is that kid has a lot to do and like a lot of different like things that he'll have to play. And for a young child actor, that's a lot to ask. And I think from what we see in this trailer, he's doing a pretty decent job. Like, he seems to capture that like hopeful spirit energy of like, hey, I want to go out and explore and try new things and figure out who I am as this little kid that I think is really well handled for a child actor, let's just say, at least from what we're seeing here.
Yeah, I mean, I have like a pretty rigorous standard for my child actors: is are they as annoying as shit? And if the answer is no, then they're doing a great job. And I think that Dexter Sol Ansel is doing a great job. Like, this dynamic intrigues me that we see in the trailer between the two of them, mm-hmm. and so I'm very keen to learn more about it and see it develop. Like, even just the glimpses we have, it's like, oh yeah, I could see a show being successful with like that chemistry, you know, like that looks like it could be fun.
He's and gonna have so, a lot on yeah. his shoulders for this show, so yeah. I think
one of the biggest complaints that people had about Game of Thrones, according to Martin himself, was that, you know, I'm quoting here from Martin: here's another fantasy we get to hear more about kingdoms and lords. Nobody ever writes about the common people, the small folk, as I call them, and that resonated with me. We do listen to some of the critics if they know what they're talking about, and that is true, end quote. So, like, that's something that Martin has said about what motivated him to write this story. Now, we did get a little bit of small folk action in the last season of House of the Dragon, did we not?
We did.
in a manner of speaking. But But yeah, it does seem like this will finally offer like a hopefully a very thorough investigation of what the life of small folk are like in this universe. I think I am really curious about like how this fits into the Game of Thrones ecosystem. It's only 6 episodes, which is really short for a season. I am curious like why it took this long to produce, just because ostensibly the reason you make a show like this, ostensibly I would think, is because it is lower in terms of the scope of the story they're trying to tell. However, based off of the trailer, that does not appear to be the case. Like, this seems to be like it is as high budget as a typical episode of Game of Thrones, or as a typical season of Game of Thrones, or House of the Dragon. Would you agree with that, Jesse Earle?
Yeah, it is. And that's why I'm like, I'm so curious to see what the show is going to be. I didn't realize it was 6 episodes either.
Yeah.
Like, that's because, like, obviously they have less to work with in terms of, like, there's 3 novellas instead of, like, this broad history, or, like, however many books Game of Thrones was, or this kind of very, like, years-long, decades-long history that we get with House of the Dragon, even though they has less to pull from book-wise.
Yeah.
But I also sort of, when I heard about this show, is like, this is a good idea for a show in the sense that it could really easily fit into a very episodic thing. Like, obviously the novellas have their own stories, and I'm sure the show will show those, whether each season is one novella or, you know, they go through multiple or whatever. But there's also an ability with this to be like, oh, let's do a one-off episode about him and like Duncan Egg dealing with this thing. And that could be a more traditional TV show on a lower budget that I was like, oh, you could do kind of a more, you know, story of the week kind of thing, which I think would be a lot of fun. So hearing it's only 6 episodes reads to me as like, okay, they're going to still do a serialized thing with these characters, which is kind of, I think, is a missed opportunity, you know?
Yeah. In the sense that, like, you think it will be like a missed opportunity to not have it be more standalone? Like,
yeah.
Like, you think basically like, we're not going to be satisfied with the story by the end of season.
No, right? I think the season, like, my guess is that each season they want to probably do this at least 3 seasons. I guess,
right.
Like,
each season's going to be one matching with the books, right?
Yes, exactly.
One per book, yeah.
Which is fine, but like, one of the things that I enjoyed is going to be a weird comparison, but it's just my mind recently. It's Witcher. If like that show has as many many problems if you've seen it, but the time I did enjoy it was its first season, where it had like this overarching big plot going on in the background, but it was more capturing the novellas from the Witcher books, which are like one episode was like one of the novellas from season one. It was like, okay, we got a monster of the week format in this fantasy genre that they haven't really seen in a very long time, since like Xena was kind of the last major time we got something of that level. And I was kind of hoping for this show to maybe capture that. But again, hearing it's 6 episodes and they're putting a lot of big budget stuff into it, my guess is it's probably going to follow just the novella. And I'm like, it just feels like there's more opportunity here to like, have a little bit more fun in the Game of Thrones world and like let us sit in it rather than being like, oh, we want to try and have it be like, certainly it'll be a different tone and a different perspective, but still kind of have that like,
More exploratory.
Yeah,
saying.
Exactly.
Be great if it was more exploratory as opposed to just, hey, here's a tiny story and we're telling the tiny story and the tiny story is over. Right?
Yes, exactly.
Intriguingly, in January of 2025, George R.R. Martin did report on his blog having seen the entire series. He says,
oh, wow.
Night of the Seven Kingdoms, it's done. Ira, referring to Ira Parker, the co-creator of the series, and his team wrapped the first season months ago and moved right on to post-production. I've seen all 6 episodes now. The last 2 in rough cuts, admittedly, and I love them. Duncan Egg have always been favorites of mine, and the actors we found to portray them are just incredible. A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms is an adaptation of The Hedge Knight, the first of the novellas I wrote about them.
Mm-hmm.
It's as faithful and as adaptation as a reasonable man could hope for, and you all know how incredibly reasonable I am on that particular subject, end quote.
At least
you're
self-aware.
Which, if you've listened to A Cast of Kings and Decoding TV, you know George R.R. Martin has had some pretty strong fucking feelings about how faithful House of the Dragon has been. He has really been vocal about his dissatisfaction with how the, so George R.R. Martin's happy with the adaptation, but yeah, I'm just like, I wish I knew kind of what the rationale was for delaying it. Probably had to do with corporate doings, is my guess, is like not creative doings. It's probably corporate doings of, hey, we need to postpone it for this fiscal year or whatever, because it sounds like it was done like,
yeah,
like almost like 8 months ago. And I'm
curious, this probably speaks more to House of the Dragon season 3 and when that's coming out.
Right.
You know, it's probably being like, well, we're not going to have House of the Dragon until 2027 at this point. So like, let's
space it. We need something to tide people over and might as well have that be Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, which they're now releasing in 2026. So that way there'll be one Game of Thrones thing in 2026 and then a Game of Thrones thing in 2027.
Yeah,
and then maybe a Game of Thrones thing in 2028. Although I doubt it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they could maybe, if this does well, maybe they'll do another season of this. And that'll
No. I'm sure they will, but I just doubt that will be done by 2028. You know what I'm saying? Like,
maybe. Yeah. I mean, my guess was like, because didn't the writer strike kind of like delay what House of the Dragon was going? My guess was they probably wanted it to be like, all right, like we'll have this in 2026, like kind of like the Star Wars movies that they were doing back, where it's like we'll have a big episode movie and then we'll have one of these one-off spin-offs. And I think that was kind of the plan here, was like Dunkin' Egg, shorter little thing, tie people over, then Big House of the Dragon, then we just sort of back and forth that ping pong that. But obviously the writer strike and actor strike probably screwed all that up.
Well, you know that old adage, showrunners plan and God laughs.
Best laid plans of mice and showrunners.
That's right. Okay. So great trailer. Really amped about the show. Jesse Earl, any other thoughts about anything you're looking forward to or anything that you noticed in the trailer you want to highlight for people? Without spoiling anything, of course.
Yeah, I mean, some of the stuff there's a couple things that I do remember having read it over decades ago, but would be a little bit spoilery. The only thing I was just say is, I mean, you touched upon it, is just the perspective change. I think it's really cool to get a show that is from the perspective of like the lowborn people, like the everyday citizens. It kind of reminds me of, you know, not in tone, obviously, but like what I initially liked about the pitch of something like Andor, Star Wars Andor, where it's like, we're not dealing with the Jedi. We're not dealing with, you know, everyone, you know, like at the top of this universe, like we're just dealing with the average people. And I think that perspective change, just like it's really interesting, unique when we get to see that for a world like this a fantastic world from that perspective. So I'm just looking forward to that.
Yeah. Well, we are looking forward to A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms right here on A Cast of Kings, which is a Decoding TV podcast. And we will work to bring you coverage in some form or another. you know, as I've indicated to Jesse, there's a lot going on in my life right now that will become clear over the course of the next few weeks. And so still unsure exactly how the next season of Cast of Kings is going to come together, but I do anticipate it will in some form, somehow or another. All that said, I am really grateful to Jesse Earl for chatting with me tonight about this trailer. You can find her channel at Jesse Gender on YouTube. Jesse Earl, thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Thanks for having me.
All right, and we'll see you later. If you're looking for TV coverage of stuff that's going on in the meantime, subscribe to Decoding TV wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening to A Cast of Kings. Goodbye.